right. If we have children who will be headed to children's church, we'll dismiss them at this time. I think that's second grade and under. Is that right? Okay. If you're going to be sending your kids out to children's church, they may be dismissed at this time. If you're going to remain with us, I'd ask you to take your Bible out and turn to Acts chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse 32. Lauren is, I usually give her scripture passages back there for the day, but I didn't today, so she's so good that she runs on the fly all the time anyway. Living with Alex, she has to, but amen. Today I want to talk to you a little bit. You know, we're going to begin this study, I Am a Church Member, and we're going to look at what it means to be a church member, what is expected of me as a church member. And I want to make very clear, we're not talking about what Dolan Baptist Church expects of you as a church member. We're not talking about what the establishment of the church expects of you as a church member. We're going to go back and see what Jesus says and what Paul teaches about what God expects of you as a member of not this building, this local body, but of His church, as a member of the body of Christ. Okay? And I believe that if we will get back to and understand and get those principles inside of us and let those become part of us, we will be revolutionized as the local body also. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. I want to talk to you today, and I titled this message, An Effective Church is Made Up of Giving People. An effective church is made up of giving people. And I hear some of you already, oh, Lord, he's going to talk about money. Well, that's what preachers do. They just talk about money, 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 money. Well, yeah, it's in Scripture. I'm not going to avoid that. But if that's your fear this morning, you can rest at ease, because I'm not just talking just about that. I'm talking about giving, period. And we're gonna talk about that. I believe that the biggest problem in today's churches, let me ask you this. Do you believe churches today have problems? Okay. I want to make sure we're on the same page. I believe the biggest problem we have is that it's not a lack of, you know, it's not a style issue, a preference of this style or that style. I believe it's not a lack of workers. I don't think that's the biggest problem. Churches have style problems, style issues, right? Arguments over style of worship. Churches have lack of workers, right? Churches have mismanagement. Churches have a lack of accountability. And again, the preferences and all that. And those are issues and problems in the church. But I believe the biggest problem that today's church has is a lack of love. It's a lack of love. I want to read this passage, Acts chapter 4, 32 through 37. And here it says, all the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared in everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money in from the sales, and put them at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. When Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned, he brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, this is not a new problem. When I said, well, I think that our biggest problem is a lack of love, it's not a new problem. Not a new problem. Just look at the bulk of what Paul wrote and taught about. He was always encouraging people to love. He admonished people, though, those people who were not loving. And he just over and over. So it's not a new problem. We can go back 2,000 years. Matter of fact, you go back to the beginning of time when Adam and Eve, there was a lack of love among them. Because love, let me tell you, obedience comes out of love. Obedience comes out of love. So from the very first time that Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, love was damaged. And they expressed a lack of love. And I believe while that may be the biggest problem in churches today, it does not have to be our problem. It does not have to be your problem. I know you're probably thinking, well, wait a minute. I don't not love anybody in this room. I like them all. And I do that. But I want to submit to you today that if we loved each other the way Christ loves them, it would radically change the effectiveness of this church. We would be more forgiving. We would be less focused on self and my needs and my wants and my desires. We would be more generous. We would be more willing to work and to serve. You see, when I said giving, you thought I was just talking about money. But I'm talking of time, talents, devotion. Here's a secret. It's not my love for you that compels me to stand here in front of you each Sunday and preach. It's not my love for you that compels me to come and minister when somebody's in the hospital or sick or dying or do a funeral. It's not my love for you. It's Christ's love in me and through me. And the same is true for each and every one of you too. Jesus prayed in John 12, verse 21, that we may be one. When he prayed for us, he prayed that we would be one. It would be unified. And to be unified, you have to love one another. You know, go back to the Garden of Eden, when God made Adam, and then he made Eve. Why did he make Eve? He said, because it's not good for man to be alone. He made Eve, and they were married in God's eyes, and the two became one. The two became one. A successful marriage doesn't begin with the idea of, well, I'm marrying this person because they've got some really good stuff to offer to me. Now, I didn't say all marriages don't start that way. I said successful marriages don't start that way. Okay? Successful marriages have the idea of, I love you and I want to give to you something. I want to give you my heart. Right? I want to give to you. I want to serve you. And that's what a successful marriage is based upon. This kind of relationship focuses on the needs of the other, and it's willing to give in order to see those needs met. And it's the same principle that makes us effective as a church. When we see those needs, we ought to be, by Christ's love, compelled to meet those needs. Not for just ourselves. For somebody else who certainly is in need of that. This church in Acts chapter 4 that we read of here was so focused on meeting each other's needs, they had no concern for gratifying their own desires. They were focused on meeting everyone else's needs. Secondly, they were so focused beyond themselves to reaching the lost world with the truth of the gospel. You see, they were just too busy to fuss. That's a good lesson. I think when people start fussing, it's just because they're not busy enough about the right things. You can get all busy up in everybody else's business and it causes a lot of fussing. But if you get busy about the right things, you'll be too busy to fuss. And you'll major on the majors instead of majoring on the minors. In verse 33, it's a powerful, powerful verse. It says, with great power the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. I believe that for an effective church, there must be strong preaching. Amen. And I pray to you. I don't pray to you. Let me rephrase that. I pray to God that for you, I never preach what you want to hear. I pray that I would be bold enough and obedient enough to preach what you need to hear. And if you're never offended and convicted by the word of God that is preached from the pulpit, either you have weak preaching from someone who's ashamed, embarrassed, afraid, or lazy, or you're resisting the Holy Spirit. Or You're so perfect, you don't need it. Let me make sure I have my right audience. Is there anyone that is so perfect they no longer need preaching of the Word of God in their life? Is there any? I just want to recognize you, because I want to just like give you a... There's nobody in the room? So we all need it. Good. I'm in the right spot then. I was afraid. The rest of this passage talks about sharing. Verses 32 all the way through 35. It talks about sharing. It says, none of them claimed anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And while this passage is specifically talking about the physical property, I believe they also shared some intangible things as was needed also. And that's really what I want to talk about today. I want us to learn that today. That we each have something to give for the common good of the church. Did you hear me? We each have something to give for the common good of the church. And you may be sitting there thinking, well, I don't. Well, I want to inform you that you're wrong. Because you do. You have an ability to pray and lift up and encourage others. Some of you have more physical and monetary means to help other people than others do. But you can all be an encourager. You can all lift someone up in prayer. You can all come up here and do something and be involved in the workings of the church. If you come with the idea that the church exists to serve you, then you've become a burden instead of a contributor. Amen. That's a hard word. But if you believe that the church, if Dolan Baptist Church exists to serve me, you have become a burden to the church, because the church's first and primary purpose is to reach the lost world. Amen. And if we're so busy being burdened here within the body, we can't do what God has called us to do first and foremost. Now, we need to take care of each other. Now, I'm not saying we don't need to do that. We need to take care of each other. But don't become just a consumer and a taker. Become a giver. There are times when we need to consume. We need to be ministered for a season. Okay? There need to be time. There are times when I needed to be ministered to for a season. But it should not become a lifestyle. It should not become a habit that all the church exists for is to serve me. The church doesn't exist just for you, but you exist for the church. And the church exists to reach the lost. We will take care of each other, but it's so that we can be a healthy body, effective, and a force in this lost and dying world. So what am I getting at? What's your point, Brother Mike? What's your point? You need to serve. That's my point. You need to serve. You need to teach. You need to play with babies. You need to make repairs. You need to invite your friends and your neighbors. You need to organize ministries. You need to be involved in ministries. That's you. That's me. That's all of us. We're in the same boat. We need to be involved. We need to be doing something. If you're not sure what to do, just ask. But do something. Otherwise, you're not a contributing member as instructed by Scripture. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18 says this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, verse 18 says, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. You see, love is an action. It's not just a word, is it? It's not just a word. It's an action. How do we do that? Oh, there are lots of ways. But the greatest act of love is service. It's a matter of love. What is our motto? Love up and love out. Based on Mark 12, verse 30 through 31, where Jesus said, all the law and all the prophets are summed up in this. Love the Lord your God with everything that's in you. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. Love. All the law and all the prophets are summed up in four letters. Love. Love, love, love. Love God and love one another. And if we'll do that, and if we'll really do that, as we're instructed by Scripture, what scriptural love is, then we will serve. We will give. We will meet the needs. We will do those things. We will step out of our comfort zone and become what Christ has called us to be instead of what we're comfortable being. I guarantee you, Christ has not called us to be comfortable. I'm going to close with this. If you're going to be obedient, you have to love. And if you truly love, you will give of yourself. I got a new, fresh perspective on John 3:16 just recently. You know John 3:16? Let's say it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever good job. For God so loved the world, He gave. For God so loved the world, He gave. For God so loved the world, He gave. If we love, we ought to give. What will you give? What will you give? A little time, a little effort, a little something that maybe you've never done before. It makes a difference. As I saw adult sponsors walking around all week this last week, chasing kiddos, right? Huffing and puffing. I mean, I had a golf cart because I was all over all three campuses all the time. And I would pass, and there'd be these sponsors, they'd be going. And if I could, I'd give them a ride, just a little bit of encouragement to get on to the next place so they could love on their kids. But they were there giving of themselves, okay? And there were a few sponsors that were dragging kids around. I mean, they were super pumped up, and more power to them. They were awesome. But these adults were giving. And at the end of the week, it made a huge difference in many of those kids' lives. What are you willing to give? What are you willing to give? Ask yourself that question. And Jesus, His own teachings, He said, as you've done unto the least of these, you've done to me. So don't think of it as you're giving something to this person. Don't think of it when you bring your tithe to the church, and we should bring our tithe to the church and give it, right? But you're not giving it to the church. You need to understand that. If you walk out of here thinking that Brother Mike says we ought to give to the church, you're wrong, okay? You give to God. And God lets us, the church, use it to accomplish His purpose, His will, His desires to meet people's needs that He sends us, okay? There's so much miscommunication about that tithe that the preacher's just asking for money because he wants a raise or whatever. And then that happens, y'all. I'm not going to deny the fact that there are some preachers out there who take that and they misuse it. The Lord will deal with them. The Lord will deal with them someday. But we ought to take, our attitude ought to be, whatever we give, whether it be time, whether it be spending time on our knees in prayer, whether it be words of encouragement, whether it be teaching or leading a ministry or a class or just rocking babies. The babies need to be rocked. Yes. Yeah. And sometimes mom and dads are wore out. Sometimes they want to come and just sit and be ministered to. They want to come and just have the Word of God without distractions. We need to provide that. Amen. But when we're doing that, we're not... If I'm rocking your baby, if I'm going to be rocking your baby, I'm not just giving you a gift of giving you some time. I'm serving God by doing that. As you've done unto the least of me, these, you've done unto me. That ought to be our attitude. I'm giving my tithe to God. I'm preparing this meal for God's service, for God to use. I'm teaching this class for God's glory. I'm doing whatever I'm doing. I'm doing this ministry. I'm gathering up clothes for homeless. I'm doing whatever it is for God, not for that person. God blesses that person through our obedience. Okay? To be an effective church, we've got to be a giving church. It goes all the way back to the book of Acts. As a matter of fact, it goes all the way back to the beginning of time. Will we be that church? Will we be that church that God writes a letter about someday and says, oh, thank you for being a giving church? You know, when we read in the book of Revelations, I told you I was almost done, and I didn't lie to you. Just another thought came into my head, so. When we read the churches of Revelations, those seven churches, most of those churches, he said, well, okay, you do this good, you did get that good, I'm proud of you for this, but yet I hold this against you. And each one had different reasons. I pray that when we show up and God says, Nolan Baptist Church, thank you for giving. Thank you for giving and allowing me the opportunity to move and to work and to change lives. Thank you for honoring me. That's not. I'm not speaking. This is God. I want him to say this. God said, I want him to say, Dolan Baptist Church, thank you for honoring me enough to allow me to work through you to change lives for all of eternity. I pray that we're a giving church. Amen. A giving church. All right. If you're with us today and you've never, maybe you've never been in church a lot. Maybe you never grew up in church. But I want you to know this, that Jesus loves you. He loves you more than anybody else in this whole world could. In that verse 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave. You know what he gave for you? Everything. He didn't hold back on anything. He gave you everything that is needed to secure your eternal destination, to secure your ability to have faith in a power that is way beyond yourself. And power with that faith. He gives all of that. All he says is to trust me. Trust me. Trust me through Jesus Christ for the salvation. And you get all these blessings. Have you done that? You might be sitting there this morning thinking, you know what? I feel bad because Brother Mike soloed me out. He knows that I've not been a contributing mentor. He knows that I've not been involved in ministries, and I'm kind of upset about that. Let me tell you, I'm not singling anybody out, because the truth is I could be talking to every single person in this room, including myself. We all need to become a giving church. Amen. But maybe you need to come to the altar and spend some time in prayer. As always, I'll be here in the front. Rebecca will be here in the front. If you would like to come and talk to one of us for prayer, we'd be honored to do that. And maybe you want to join this church, and we'd love to talk to you about that. Maybe you want to just come and recommit yourself to God in living scripturally. Especially as we look forward to what we're going to be studying over the next several weeks. This is your time. This is called the invitation. And that's just what it is. It's an invitation. It's not compelling you to do anything. We're not telling you or ordering you to do anything. We want to provide an opportunity to you to respond for what the Holy Spirit has been saying to you this morning. And he has been speaking. I know that. Amen. I know that. Not just my voice. He's been speaking to your heart. This is your time to respond. Would you stand as we sing?